Seconds to spare.
I know. I won't say if I was speeding or not.
We'll penalize you later.
Okay.
You got keys for this, right? Put my book away then.
Pardon you?
All right, well, by my clock, it is 6 o'clock. So why don't we go ahead and call the meeting of the Board of Adjustments for July 7th to order. Do we do a roll call?
Yes.
Okay, if you would.
Keith Hammett.
Here.
Alderman Baird.
Here.
Landry Cobb.
Here.
Glenn Kirkland.
Here.
And Trina Cowan.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Fantastic. Thank you. I think our first point of order is on our agenda. It was a discussion to elect a new chair for new chair, vice chair, and secretary for a one-year term. But as those terms are not over, and by the time they are over, we meet so rarely, the panel may change. So without those terms having ended, I think we will, if I can do an amendment to the agenda, bank that until the next meeting when we actually are up on our term limits. So do we need to do that in the form of a motion, or do we just amend the agenda?
Just we'll vote with the agenda with that amendment.
Okay. And are there any other agenda amendments?
You need to make a motion to amend the agenda,
right,
to take off number two.
Okay. Yeah. And does anybody else have any discussion on any other agenda items that should be changed? Okay, then I would entertain a motion for that.
Motion to amend it.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Glenn Kirkland? Trina Cowan?
Yes.
Gotta go verbal.
Keith Hammett?
Yes.
Alderman Baird?
Yes.
And Landry Cobb?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, next item, we need to approve the minutes from our last meeting back in October. First off, did anybody have any items that they disagreed with, any changes we need to put on the minutes from our meeting in October? Then I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting in October.
Motion that we approve the minutes from the meeting last night.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Trina Cowan?
Yes.
Keith Hammett?
Yes.
Alderman Baird?
Yes.
Landry Cobb?
Yes.
And Glenn Kirkland?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir?
If you want to turn the meeting over to me and I'll announce the public hearing, or do the public hearing real quick. And
I absolutely would do that. Thank you, Ken.
This will be a public hearing to consider a zoning variance from the minimum requirements for building setback at 507 Logan Street, Willard, Missouri. The board will now take any questions will take any comments as to that zoning variance. Would anyone like to address the board? Would you come up, state your name, your address, and you have 5 minutes.
You have questions. I'm Jessica Lee.
Here to go with the rest of the interview. It's all recorded.
I'm Jessica Lee. We live at 511 East Logan Street.
You're dressing in, yeah.
Our questions are for the zone.
Excuse me, they don't take questions. They just take, if you want to make a comment.
Okay. Our comments are the drainage in the back of the development there has always been a drainage ditch. So when it rains really hard,
Fantastic.
That was our concern, was the flooding that it may cause in the back if they are too extended.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board in regards to this zoning variance? Come up and state your name and address and make your comment.
Nick Lee, 511 East Logan, and I was just curious. I've been noticing all the water retention ditches in town have overflows, and this one does not. So I was curious if that's something, it would be an easy fix, I would think, but it was just something I had on my mind that might need to be done.
Yes, sir. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time in regards to this zoning variance?
My name is Prior Ballmer. We live at 505 East Logan. And our concern about the zoning variance is the losing of the sight line of vision from the backyard in the presence of a set for future development of the house that could be developed to the west of us in the open lot. Once you grant one variance, could another one be granted? And if you go for greater increases of a footprint of a piece of land, which is the house. So that's our concern about.
Sure. Would anyone else like to address the board in regards to the zoning variance?
My name is Lisa Bonner and I live at 505 East Logan. We just built a new deal. This is absolutely nothing personal. It's completely, you know, we selected this lot purposely for the view. I'm concerned a little bit about the view being obstructed. It's my understanding also that not only is the house going to be deepened in the lot, but they could also build on a patio, which would make it even deeper into the lot. And so if I sit on my beautiful deck that we've just built and look out, I'm going to be looking right into the home and or a patio. And so that's my concern.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board in regards to the zoning variance? Seeing and hearing none, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask that this public hearing be closed and turn it back over to you. I think we're on number five.
Which would be citizen input for...
At this time, you can address the citizen input any way you want. I mean, if you want to take questions or whatever you want to do at this point. We still limit to 5 minutes.
We can do some citizen input if we want to do that. Is anybody?
5 minutes,
Sam. Absolutely. You're going to have the next item is for the variance request, so you'll have your time to speak then if you want. But if you would like to give some other input, we're not shutting anybody down at this point.
You just tell me when it's my turn to come up.
All right. I think at that point, if everybody's had their say, we will go into this variance request from Mr. Horn. Randy, can you start us through this and then we'll get input from the Horns?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Several weeks back, Mr. Horn submitted a building permit application for 507 Logan. And as part of our review process, we do look at the building setback requirements, taking into account the footprint of the house and all attached structures. So I realized that it would not meet the rear yard setback, so called Mr. Horn and explained to him that by our code, it is subject for Board of Adjustments to decide for building setbacks. And I have provided a copy of the plat. It is a rear yard setback issue that would encroach approximately 15 feet. There's a utility easement in the backyard. It would have a few feet away from that easement. So as some of you may be aware, our 10-inch regional force main runs through the back of that property as well. It's not on the lot, it's behind the lot, running parallel with the detention space.
93 the detention bond?
Hmm?
Is, on this map, is 93 the detention bond?
I think so. Randy, the question is that a detention pond right behind those properties?
Yes. This was dedicated all detention space. Some of you may have remembered the ponds that were located up near Hunt Road. Mm-hmm. They were filled in, and the lots are set back to such a point, but the property gets designed, and there are some curb drains that actually drain back to that green space. That subdivision has been constructed for several years, and I thought there was an overflow or some type of a drain mechanism built in that detention, but it may have been designed to drain when it did fill, to drain into, you know, fill up and back up until it runs into Rainier Branch. So I'd be more than happy to check out that aspect of it. But that is all dedicated detention area in the back.
Are you aware of any intrusions, people building into the?
What? I have issued some fence permits, but I'm not aware that there's been any obstructions of any flood wash or any drainage. I'd be happy to check into that as well.
Well, while we're all here, and while we've got them here, Mrs. Lee, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know an address or an identifying factor for where you're talking about?
Well, I can show you on the map.
If you would.
What we have kind of noticed is behind the fence lines, the property lines, they are taking some, I guess, maybe fill dirt or whatever, and kind of filling in larger towards the back, which is where your water runs off from when it does heavily rain, and so it's kind of blocking it up, and so then that water's just sitting in between those two. So it's on this end, and then there's another one that's kind of right in here. So we're lot 11. I would believe it may be lot 13 that kind of comes back, and I'm not so sure that it blocks it completely off. It may come down a little bit, but I'm pretty sure back here it comes pretty far back to where it blocks that.
Super.
From running.
Super, thank you. That might help you when you look into that, Randy.
Certainly, and as you're aware, that is an ongoing development. So the developer, Mr. Kramer, we have had numerous conversations about the final grading of that drainage way and what that's supposed to look like. That's supposed to be where it can be maintained. There were some issues because of the pond filling, and it is ongoing as far as the drainage.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any other questions for Randy? Thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Horn, do you have something you'd like to put before us here?
I am building this home for my parents. I am not originally from Missouri. I'm from Pennsylvania. My dad retired and moved back up there. They're 80. They're not in very good health. One of them falls today, the other one falls tomorrow. So I'm trying to get them here so that my wife and I can take care of them. Long and short of it is, the drawings that you guys have that I had made on the house, as it's drawn, the house itself won't fit on the property. Even with that, the issue is the covered back deck. I brought plans with me. I adjusted the garage and made it 4 feet shorter so I can move the house 4 feet closer to the road and get the house on the 60 by 60 foot piece of property that can actually be utilized out of the 140. If the back deck is not covered, the back deck is not considered part of the home because it's not under roof, is my understanding. So it's a 12-foot deck. I can put the deck up. So the deck is going to be there one way or the other. All I'm asking is to put a roof over half of it so that my parents can have a screened-in porch. That's all they want is a screen.
Do you have the copies, the new ones that you made for all of us to look at?
No, I don't have. You can have this one if you guys want to take a look at it before. And I did this by hand.
Okay.
It's not, it is kind of to scale, but.
So.
The garage was 22 wide.
Okay.
I'm going to make the garage 25 wide, but instead of 28 feet from here to mm-hmm. the front, I'm going to make it 24. So it shifts the whole house up towards the
okay.
street. And with, because the house as it sits right now is 63 feet, 6 inches. So it wouldn't fit anyway. But by doing this with the garage inside the house proper is 59 feet, 6 inches.
Okay.
All, and the issue is putting a roof over that portion of the covered deck.
Okay.
18 by 12.
Okay.
If anybody else wants to,
do you want
anybody
me to
else
pass
want to see
around?
This?
Yes.
But even pulling the garage forward, we're still going to stick out too far based on the current city setbacks. Is that accurate?
If I'm allowed to cover the back deck. If I don't cover the back deck, then the house fits on the lot. If I cover the back deck, then it still won't fit, even if I shorten the garage by 4 feet.
So is that a different setback than what was given to us in the information?
If I moved the garage 4 feet up, then I could need 11 feet instead of 15.
Okay.
On the back. Step back.
And just as a point of clarification, you are the owner of record of that lot?
No, my parents are. But they're in Pennsylvania.
But they have purchased the lot from
Rich Kramer.
Okay.
Yes.
And so with you moving it up, that helps with the drainage in the back. It won't be so far deep into the backyard, is that correct?
Yeah, the house won't be that far deep, but it still wouldn't have gotten into the water retention anyway. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any other direct questions regarding this? I don't know if anybody has gone through the whole process with you. There are 7 items that have to, criteria that have to be met for us to go to issue this variance. And so you can sit down if you want. We may end up calling you back up to address each one of these as we go, or you can just stand up there. And I guess before we do, is there, Ken, is there any issue at all on doing and even addressing this variance without the owners actually having submitted for it?
No, I think they can do it on behalf of the
okay.
The biggest problem, as you know, Sam, is variances are very challenging for the Board of Adjustment. It's a very challenging, you have one of the worst boards to be on because it's so hard
mm-hmm.
to and variances are, by law, are granted few and far between because of the 7 issues you've ever go through.
Right.
That's the big problem, you know, but the problem
okay.
then asking for the variance on behalf of their,
okay.
I don't think that's an issue.
Excellent. All right. Okay, well, let's just go through these standards. And I believe Ms. Rowe passed out a 7 motions to vote on for Board of Adjustments. Let's go through them one by one and make sure that we meet the criteria or not, as the case may be. Number 1 is the particular physical surrounding shape or topographical condition of the specific property involved would result in undue hardship upon the owner as distinguished from a mere inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulations were carried out. Now we're into an area that I'm a little weak on in terms of interpreting undue hardship versus mere inconvenience. Can you help me with that?
I sure can, if you want my opinion.
Sure.
All these are fact-driven. All these things you're looking at are fact-driven. So you just have to apply the facts to each one of these things. And it's your interpretation, that is, the board's interpretation of an undue hardship. Would it be an undue hardship to have his folks that are 80 years old sit down on a porch with glaring sun blazing on them? You can interpret that in many different ways. So you as a board would have to decide, or is it just a mere inconvenience that they can never have the shade over them, I guess. That's just a fact issue that you guys will have to address. If you're looking for a definition of undue hardship, you probably won't find it in case law. There's no definition of it.
That helps.
But we get to hang our hat on it.
yes, sir. They're tough. These cases are tough.
All right.
You got to decide whether or not it's undue hardship not to have a covered porch for an elderly couple, I guess. That's really the issue.
Do we have any discussion on that? I mean, this is what we're here for, is to figure this stuff out. So, opinions, please.
Well, my opinion is they're going to have the deck one way or the other. I mean, with the potential problems, because I'm no contractor or any kind of drainage expert, with potential problems with granting a variance, but it's still going to be there anyway. I mean, undue hardship, maybe, maybe not, but is it going to change the fact that the deck's going to be there? No.
The roof is not going to change any of the
drain, right.
And it doesn't even affect that. Like, it doesn't go that far deep into their yard.
So, I mean, as long as they're within their lot with their deck that's going to be there regardless,
mm-hmm.
What's an undue hardship? I wouldn't want my 80-year-old grandma sitting out in the blistering sun when she could be doing something else. But then again, I also know there's other means of covering a patio.
Sure.
So that's number one is my main hiccup on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an undue hardship? It's very opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good argument.
Have you looked at other ways to cover the deck, umbrellas, other temporary means, pull out shades?
They can put an awning up, but it's not just the covered deck, it's the screen porch so that they can use that as not necessarily living space, but they go out there and they sit and they have dinner and they have a swing. I mean, they're 80 years old, they have a swing, they go swinging it all night. Read their book and then go in, watch some TV, and go to bed. So.
Okay, help me out here. From your position, what is the undue hardship?
It's 108 degrees with the heat index. If the sun's up there, you'd be able to sit up there. So, even though the deck would be there, they wouldn't be able to utilize it. And the roof isn't going to be any bigger than the deck's 12 by 18, and that's how big the roof would be, 12 by 18. So it's not really taking up any more space. But, like I said, they wouldn't be able to utilize the space. It would be a deck that they never went on.
Is it the shade or the screened in that is important for use?
Screened in part, I don't know that anybody can really
Not even with a different type of shade?
Well, and this is also what ties back to the undue hardship in my own mind, is that we keep discussing shade and we keep discussing heat. There's four seasons, you know. If it's screened in and it's just screened in, it's not going to be heated. So is that going to be something different for winter time? I mean, you know, that's, we're only, again, in my mind, benefiting them for the summer months of heat and having shade. Whereas I know I'm a young man and I use my open area and we put up a canopy and I run around with my two kids and my wife and we have a swing and we do that thing. But I'm not saying that that's right for everyone. But that's what we keep going back to and addressing, is we're addressing just the summer months and just the heat. There's four seasons. So if that's what we're concerned with, spring and fall, that'll probably be some of the most beautiful times in the world.
And they'll be out there. They'll be out there in blankets. So, I mean, if it's not snowing, they're out on the covered porch. Even in Pennsylvania, they're out there. So it's taken a portion of the house away from them that they can't use.
Mr. Reynolds, your advice here, do we deal with these as we go or go through them all and then go back and vote?
Well, you know, typically you would go through each one, like number one, and mm-hmm. take a vote on it.
Okay.
And if
we ever hit a no, then we're done.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, does this have to be unanimous or does this have to be just
majority vote? Yes, sir.
Is there any further discussion on number one? I would entertain a motion to the variance request meets the criteria of number one or not, as the case may be.
I'll motion for a vote on the first part.
You'll move that this meets the zoning, the variance requirement?
Oh, I thought we were voting on that part. And is that what we're doing?
Your vote would be whether or not
the variance request meets the requirement of the number one item that we just read.
Or it correct. Does or does not. It's just as you said.
Right.
Yeah. Motion to vote on that, whether it meets or does not meet.
Well, we if I'm correct, we need a motion that addresses one or the other, not both. That's so correct. We can take a motion that it does meet that criteria, and then we vote yes or no.
I motion that it does meet.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Keith Hammett?
Yes.
Alderman Baird?
No.
Landry Cobb?
No.
Glenn Kirkland?
Yes.
And Trina Cowan?
Yes.
Very good. This is a majority rule, correct?
It's correct.
All right. Very good. On to item number two. The conditions of which the applicant complains is one suffered by the applicant and would not be applicable to other property in the same zoning classification.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I was brought to
you. Yes.
May I have just a second? If you just bear with me just a second.
Sure.
Under... does require under section F of 400.200 F1, it requires an affirmative vote of four members, sir. So if you want to revote that or take another vote on that, it's up to you, or you can let the vote stand.
I was telling you, majority vote is four, an affirmative vote of four.
I think just for clarification for everybody,
yes,
we probably would be better off revoting just to make sure everybody is comfortable.
I think it's a good idea.
Because at this point, on a 3-2, it doesn't pass. And I just want to make sure everybody understands. So.
And normally, it would be, it's a majority vote if you have seven members. And we have,
We just have a five-member panel, though.
We only have a five-member panel?
That is correct.
Just give me a second, then, and I'll give you a little interpretation of what
sure.
I think should be done.
Sure.
It would still require four.
Okay. All right. Then I'll exercise my authority to call for a revote. Do we need a motion for that?
No.
Okay.
I would just revote.
Okay.
The motions are still pending with a clarification that requires four. If anyone wants to change or everyone wants to keep the same, it's up to you guys.
Okay.
Okay. Keith Hammett?
Yes.
Alderman Baird?
No.
Landry Cobb?
No.
Glenn Kirkland?
Yes.
And Trina Cowan?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, right there would be the end of your issues there, since number one of the seven was not met based on this city ordinance.
Very good. All right. Folks, sorry for your inconvenience.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We have no further agenda items, so I believe we can adjourn the meeting. If we would have a motion to entertain adjourning.
Yes.
And I second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Keith Hammett?
Yes.
Alderman Baird?
Yes.
Landry Cobb?
Yes.
Glenn Kirkland?
Yes.
And Trina Cowan? Thank you.
Thank you, folks, for coming in. We always appreciate input.
I hate that. I don't think he passes number two or three after that.